Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's such a small group, it's really comfortable to be up here. We were actually supposed to sing a couple songs yesterday, and I told Vitaly we should try not to, because I actually want to read a whole chapter of Jude, so we don't have a lot of Bible reading, but it's actually a good thing, so I guess it's going to be okay. I'm proud to announce I'm a father of Joshua Eli Asayev, and I'd like to share a few encouraging things that I had throughout the 2 months. Throughout these 2 months, I have some encouragement that I want to share with you guys that I was encouraged by. One of them is the book of Jude. And the second is a song called So Will I. I've been replaying both the chapter, the first chapter of Jude, and the song over and over throughout these 2 months. Jude really shows me that we are living in the end times. Also reminds me that God is still on the throne. There's a quote by William Booth, who does a good job of describing what the book of Jude talks about. This is what he says: "The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." Interesting enough that there's actually a movie coming out. It's called, I forgot what it's called, but it actually pushes the agenda that there is only heaven, there is no hell. That's why when I heard that verse and when I was thinking about Jude, it all kind of came together. So let's, once again, just listen to the book of Jude, because I think the version that I have is not the same as the one on the screen. So if you guys just listen to the book, and if it won't be on the screen, that makes sense, because if the versions don't match, it's going to be a little bit hard to understand. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write to and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. Interesting enough, I actually saw a clip about a movement of churches, so-called churches, that allow sin to be inside the church. They think it's acceptable. That's who you are. And not only that, the preacher preaches with swear words. So you can imagine how far off, and Jude specifically really talks about these kind of people. Let's go to verse 5. "Though you already know all of this, I want to remind you that this Lord at one time delivers his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound in everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve an example of those who suffer punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said,
the Lord rebuke you.
Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and their very things that they do understand by instinct as a irrational animals do will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken away, they've taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest concern. Shepherds who feed only on themselves. They are clouds without rain, carried among by wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted. Twice dead, they are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh of Adam, prophesies about these things. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts that they have committed in their ungodliness. And of him, these people are grumblers, fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember that the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are people who will divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Now the last verse, verse 24 and 25 are my favorite. I keep listening throughout, you have the bad news, but verse 24 is like, it's called a doxology. It's almost like a hymn at the end, those two last verses. It's a promise to letting the church know, letting everybody know that there's an evil that tries to destroy the church. It's an evil that tries to destroy the holy ones, that tries to divide, that tries to penetrate into our lives, that penetrates into our mind, that tries to destroy us. But these promises here, these promises, the last two verses, the promise to all those mothers praying for their children, promise to the pastors praying for their flock, a promise for all the believers who are down, promise to those who are stumbling and can't stay afloat, and a promise to those who are losing hope. These last two verses are so powerful. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. When Pastor Gregory this morning service said how beautiful God is and how all of creation testifies of his power, Isaiah 40 tells us how God is so great. He's able to take that enemy, and he promises, saying, I will destroy that enemy. The enemy that tries to devour the church, he will cast it into darkness of darknesses. God is so great, who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's a song also that you hear on the radio called So Will I. Some of the words go like this. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. This song has been on my mind these couple months, and I want to share it with you. As I was standing there on Skytop, looking over Julianne, and looking at all the mountains, And reminded of the lyrics that also say, if the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. Let's play the video clip. So as they're putting the video clip up there on the screen, the video clip will remind us of who God is. We constantly need that reminder that no matter how bad the enemy is, we have to remind ourselves and each other that who is on the throne, that God is in control. Let's worship him. And I will end in this. Feel free to sing along and just worship God throughout this song. Amen.